everyone. Welcome to another episode of In Movies We Grow. So, just very quickly to all of the listeners, we are now recording up to, we're now past the seventh episode, and I think at this rate we're going to stay every Thursday around, launching around 1, 2 o'clock Eastern Time, and we're going to just kind of keep that trajectory for the time being. As of right now, I'm very, very happy with the show, and I cannot express my full gratitude. Thank you so much for listening to this, and thanks for Anchor for distributing all this, and, you know, just, I can't express enough. So today, who do we have on episode 7? Well, on episode 7 today, we have Philip Shaburn. So Philip here is one of the co-hosts of the Action Movie Podcast. He does the other co-host being Michael Benton, who is on episode 5. Please check that out. Fun episode. And Philip is incredibly nice, very opinionated on his movies, and very much just, you know, been watching movies. Some even extremely inappropriate for a kid. Long before, like, he really should have seen movies. Like, he saw, like, Batman Returns when he was, like, 4 or 5. Oof, that's a hard, sit through. But he loved it. And him and also him and Michael really loved Batman Returns. That's kind of the correlation here. So as we go through Philip Shaburn, and as you learn more about him, you're going to, you know, have this, I hope you kind of understand a little bit more about, you know, these, you know, early millennial kids and whatnot. Also, thank you again for listening. And one more note, some of Philip's audio isn't that amazing. We did have some audio trouble going in and out, so I do apologize for that. I tried to fix it as best I could, especially while during recording and then, you know, in afterwards. But this was the best I could do with the tools I have. So thanks everyone for bearing with us. I promise episode 8 will be a little better. A little better, you know, sound quality. But thank you everyone. We're going to go on into episode 7. And then episode 6, of course, will be Thursday. Thanks, everyone. Here we go.
Okay, how is this?
Oh, perfect. We got it.
Gotcha. Okay, good.
All right. There's no, like, intro, really. I just kind of fade us into the conversation.
Gotcha.
All right. So let me kind of ask you to start things off. Like, what was the first movie you remember seeing?
The first movie I guess I remember seeing was probably, it's between the two. Oh, no. You're asking me the first movie I saw, like, even, like, as a, like a toddler, just walking around, like, I don't know what's going on. The first movie I think I saw was 1989's Batman or Indiana Jones Raiders of the Lost Ark, and probably the Temple of Doom, Empire Strikes Back, and Batman Returns. No, that's not the first, but that's in that top list of the ones that I remember watching before I went into kindergarten, if you know what I mean. Like, I was like 4 or possibly almost 5 or maybe 3.5, around there.
Do you remember what those impressions were as a kid? Like, you know, I mean, Batman Returns is a strong movie to watch before kindergarten.
The 1989 Batman movie, I didn't see it in 89. I would have been 2 and possibly terrified and confused. I was maybe like probably 4. It was like early 90s. I already loved Batman, so of course I'm gonna love that movie. It doesn't hold up as much now. Like, it's not, like, when it comes to the two Keatons, I'm going to go with probably Return, because it was a lot darker, if you know what I mean. Like, the first one, I like it, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, a lot of people like the Party Man song and Prince being in the soundtrack, but to me, it came off like the 1960s Batman stuff, where it's like, this is cheesy and stupid, but I want to see violence. Which it had violence, of course. It was dark, but I think that Batman Returns is, and you don't see this a lot, are sequels that are better than the first movie. And to me, Batman Returns is better than the 1989 Batman.
That's right. I think for me, with Batman, I think as a kid, I liked the original Batman more. And I would even argue, as a kid, I really liked the Joel Schumacher movies. But for me, rewatching them now as an
Oh
adult.
man, yeah. Like as a kid, I would watch those and be like, I liked them, but going back now, I remember being like, that's just what they gave 90s kids after Batman Returns. It's like, here's this. You'll like it because you're a kid and you have a little pea brain, so you'll like it because it's Batman. Just like any superhero, like on a movie, at sometimes people will go, all right, I'll go watch it, even if it's bad.
Yeah, and people forget, like, even like Batman and Robin still was it was still like it wasn't a huge hit, but it still made over $100 million at the domestic box office, so people
I
were
mean,
still going.
I was gonna say, yeah, it wasn't like a huge hit, but at the same time, it was like a movie that people, especially kids or someone with kids, will go and take their kids, or just people who like Batman will go see a terrible Batman movie. It doesn't matter. They'll go see it. Like, if you're a comic book guy, you'll go see it. It doesn't matter.
Right.
You'll hate it later, but you still paid for a ticket.
And back then I think everyone was, a lot of people really didn't mind Forever, so I feel like everyone was kind of excited, for a bit from going from Burton's Batman to being, slightly like, I think the problem with Batman Returns that people had in 1992 was it was so unexpectedly weird. Like people, like Batman, the
That's what I
original
liked
is
about.
weird. What?
That's what I liked with Returns was the weird gothic kind of like, yeah, look, it just had this weird, like, Gotham is a dark place. And in 1989, the movie, it was dark, but this one took more of a darker tone than 1989.
Right. And for me, I
And I liked
think,
it.
yeah, I mean, I love it too. I think back then I think people were just were they were looking at 89 and thinking, man, that was so, badass, Michael Keaton and beating the Joker and, in his famous line, I'm Batman. I think people were watching that thinking this is badass, and then they go to Batman
Yeah, the
Returns.
guy from Gung Ho became Batman.
Yeah, and Batman Returns, is kind of like Chinatown, for comic book movies. Like it's somber, it ends with, the hero basically being useless. I mean, it's just, it's just a somber movie and even ends, in a somber way. So I feel like, now it's this
I didn't like
weird
the ending.
classic.
I always hated the ending of Returns. That's what we're talking about, right? I might have
Yes.
skipped ahead.
No, we're
Yeah,
talking about Returns.
I really, yeah, I was like, oh man, did the penguin have to die and then get like the pallbearers were the penguins? I was like, that really fucked me up as a kid. Can I say the F word?
Oh yeah, I already said a cuss word. Yeah, go ahead.
It's the whole thing of like he was this misunderstood in plain talk, what would be considered a freak, and then he's killed, and it's like, ah, oh, man, But that's like a whole different thought. Like, apparently, of course, it's a comic book movie. He's the bad guy. He's supposed to lose at the end. But I was like, oh, man. That, and I really like Danny DeVito. So it was like, oh, it hit me. It was like, oh, he killed Danny.
Yeah.
Know what I mean, Cal?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I
Okay.
think to me, well, it's that's what I mean. Like it's a somber ending, you know. Penguin dies, Catwoman, you know, allegedly dies, you know, and I mean, and these are the two
Yeah.
in Batman Returns, these are kind of like our heroes in or our protagonists in a way. We're following them more than we are Batman, you know, which is funny or ironic. It's ironic because, you know, the movie's called Batman Returns, but it doesn't really do a whole lot of returning. So
Well, the origin stories of what were considered the bad guys or the villains is you have two people who are basically victims of society.
yes.
Like take the Penguin who, like he has deformities and stuff. He's considered a freak to his parents. He's left in a cage to eat the family cat, like the family Maine Coon gets killed, or whatever it was. Was it a cat that
It
went
was
up
a
through the cage and
cat.
he's like, ah, and grabs it? Yeah,
Yeah.
and not to mention his dad was Pee Wee Herman, so I'd have some issues too growing up.
Oh God, that would totally fuck you up.
That was Paul Reubens who came back to play the Penguin's dad in Gotham briefly, like for like an episode or two.
Right,
Yeah,
and
but yeah, like take the Penguin is that society freak kind of like Hunchback of Notre Dame kind of thing, and then you have Catwoman, Selina Kyle, who if you look at that movie, she's a victim of sexual harassment and like almost rape until like he pushed her like out of the window, and then cats lick her and eat her, and she becomes Catwoman. Which was a freaky scene, by the way, just watching cats just chew on a person's finger.
The whole movie is disturbing. Like it's from a demented
It
person.
really is, though. It's like you had Christopher Walken, as I forgot his name, but just that, like,
Max Schreck.
what was his name?
Max
Yeah,
Schreck.
Max Schreck. Which isn't that the guy that played Nosferatu?
Oh yeah. I think that's right. I remember
Yeah,
hearing that once upon a time.
I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know that whole movie, it's just so, and you know, and I think that's why as a kid I didn't like it as much when I saw it because it was just so over my head. You know, watching all, you
Yeah, but I
know.
did the same thing with Neverending Story.
Oh, really? So what's your opinion on Never, not to completely jump off of Batman Returns, but what's your opinion on
No, go
Neverending
ahead.
Story?
It's one of my favorite like child not sci-fi
Like
like
fantasy.
fantasy movie. I even like the sequel with Jonathan Brandis. Yeah, it's not as good. It's almost like Return to Oz, kind of like weird. When the other one was like magically cool, and then two was like, here's these weird stone. No. These weird turtle robot thingies like coming at you. But yeah, it was just like the way the movie, like the effects and stuff was shot. When I was a kid, like watching that, it looked real. Like I'm watching a fantasy happen right in front of me, kind of thing.
Right. Like yeah, so I've never seen Neverending Story. So my only like conscious memory of it is listening to the song of Neverending Story from like that German singer, I
Which is a
think.
great song.
Oh yes, it's a great song. I'm
Sorry.
not dissing the song. But like
Yeah.
it's such a like such an 80s song. you know, that's it's soft but it's
Oh
cool.
yeah, that turn around. Look at
Yeah.
what you see, you know. Yeah.
Right. So, and it's,
Yeah.
but it's
I remember
also
watching
extremely geeky.
Stranger Things
Yeah,
play
it was in
this.
there. It was in the
And
season
it took me
finale.
back to NeverEnding Story, so I went to my DVD collection. I was like, oh, I do have it. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna watch it now. Thanks, Stranger Things.
Great. Thank you, Stranger Things, for reminding us the never-ending story is a movie and it's real. Thank you. I mean that for real.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's a nice movie.
It is. It's a very nice movie. So what other films were you watching as a kid other than Neverending Story?
Before I mean, there's so many though because okay, like I'm a child of well, I'm a child of the 90s, of course.
Right.
I was conceived in 87, but you don't really comprehend films when you're like not even a year old or then a year old or two. So yeah, so I would say we had a lot of tapes, like a lot of VHSs. And my dad would just like sit down on the couch like he's Homer Simpson, crack open. He didn't drink beer. He didn't drink at all unless he had like a cold. He would drink one of my uncle's concoction of like moonshine, like red wine and mint. He would have like a glass and pass out. But yeah, there'd be like Ghostbusters 2, which is the second best Ghostbusters movie. And just a bunch of like seven, like a bunch of 1980s tapes because I was the third child, so there's a lot of moves. So we had a lot of tapes, like E.T., Jaws, and stuff like that. A lot of Spielberg, Close Encounters, and stuff. Yeah. So a lot of movies, man. But the theaters. I think the first movie I saw in the theaters. I know that was one of your questions, but I accidentally segued in. Like I'm the co-host of your show. Like I'm a dickhead. I'm so sorry.
No, you're good.
I
What
have to
was
say the
it?
first one. Yeah, the first movie I think I saw, this was 92 in the theaters that my parents took me to, not because they had to, because they couldn't get a sitter. So yeah, was Aladdin, which is actually my favorite Disney movie because I'm not a huge Disney fan. I like Toy Story and stuff like that, which is Pixar Disney, but besides the point. Just never like I was didn't care for which Michael likes is. What did he like on that last episode? That was Disney, Beauty and the Beast. It's all right, but to me, Aladdin was like the action movie for Disney. It was action and adventure and romance, so it mixed it all together. And I was like, "This is cool. I like Aladdin, and Jasmine's hot." So I was like, "I like this. I love Aladdin." I remember playing the Sega Genesis Aladdin game, like owning it. It still holds up, by the way. It is a great game.
For me,
Prince of Persia like.
yeah. So for me, to me, what I think of Aladdin, I think it's Disney's in answer to Indiana Jones. You know, it's their
Yeah,
answer to like the
it's very
serials.
adventure like.
Yeah, it's their answer to the adventure
Yeah.
serials of the time, and it's, you know, I mean, not many people know this,
Yeah.
but Michael Eisner is the same person that did Greenlight Raiders of the Lost Ark. But I mean, he also gave the green light to Aladdin as well. So I feel like this was kind of in his and
Really?
Jeffrey. Yeah, they pair. Yeah, Michael
Wait, wait,
Eisner.
wait. Was Eisner with Disney when Raiders came out?
No, when Raiders came out.
Okay, I was gonna say, was Raiders gonna be a Disney film?
Well, it might be now because Lucasfilm owns a chunk of the Indiana Jones franchise, and Lucasfilm is now under Disney's
Well,
umbrella.
now,
So,
yeah, in the past 20 or 30, in the past 20 something, like 20 something years or a little bit more, yeah.
yeah, like nowadays, like
Look at
Indiana Jones
that,
five,
yeah.
like nowadays, Indiana Jones 5 might be a might be a Disney film. Like they'll just like Lucasfilm will make it, and then Disney will distribute it. But nowadays. Yeah.
We don't speak about that film at all, Kale.
Which one?
The Crystal Skull?
Oh, I didn't bring up Crystal
Wait, did you
Skull.
say, wait.
No.
I thought you said like Indiana Jones 4 for some reason. I am so sorry.
Oh, no. Indiana
Oh, man.
Jones. No, it's fine. Indiana Jones 5. That's what I was talking about. Will probably be released.
Which would be the one that, yeah, the next one.
Yes, Indiana Jones 5 will probably be distributed through
Gotcha.
Disney. But yes,
Well, of
all
course.
the but yeah, all the Indiana Jones movies are technically they're technically Paramount, as far as I remember.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. I don't
Yeah,
even know
I was
if
gonna
they,
say, what's
what?
their idea for five? For
He's
five, like, what's their plot idea?
Well,
'Cause
it's interesting
it's
you
pretty
say that.
old.
It's interesting you say that because they got the director of Logan to write and direct Indiana Jones 5.
Okay, so it's Old Man Indiana.
Yes, at the moment,
Does
yes.
he have a CG dog?
A CG
They have a
dog?
CG dog.
A CG dog? Why would he have a
CG, not Fiji.
No, CG. Why would he have
Have
a
you seen, is it called The Wild?
Oh. No, I haven't, but I now
Saw
know
the
what you're talking
trailer.
about.
I was like, dude, I'm like, that dog does not look like it should be in that in those shots. It's like you could not get a dog that can re we have used dogs in movies, trained dogs in movies forever, but they're like, hey, you know what might work out? A goddamn video game dog. It's insulting.
I know. My dog Copper is
Is it
wondering
not?
why my dog Copper is wondering why he didn't get a call back on his audition for that movie. So, I guess
Kale,
I've
my dog's dead. Thanks.
oh, your dog has said, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that."
That's okay. He died last year. He's old
I'm
news.
sorry.
That's okay. I don't care. I mean, I did then and I do now, but not as much as it was then. But, you know, he's in a better place. He's in dog heaven with that German Shepherd
Oh,
mix that was into
Charlie?
heaven. Yeah. Carface isn't there.
No, he's in hell for being a bad
Doggy
dog.
hell. Yeah. It
Yeah.
constantly stormed.
Yes, there's a
You
lot of
got it.
thunder.
Good for you.
Yes.
Yeah, gotta get those thunder jackets.
Yes. So, did you see All Dogs Go to Heaven as a kid?
Yeah, I believe that was another tape.
That was another.
That,
So,
you know, it's like I said, it was like pick up a tape as a kid, and put it in the, like the VCR. Like I miss the VCR. Remember, in order to watch the movie over, you had to rewind. Like, how old are you?
26.
Okay, so yeah, there was VHSs around your house. I was like, wait a minute, is he 20? Because by 98 or 99, we had DVDs.
No, yeah, so I had VHSs up until like the early to mid 2000s. I mean, we had a DVD player around 2002,
Yeah.
2003. We were late to the game. But yeah, I was pretty much a VHS kid up until like 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah, I
So.
remember the transition to DVD. I think it was Christmas of 99. When did Gladiator come out, by the way? Because that is why
2000.
I know. Okay, it was 2000. It was Christmas 2000 we got a DVD player, and we got one of my favorite movies, Gladiator. By favorite, I mean it's in like a top 10. It was one of the movies of that year that we went to see as a family. And I loved it. And so we got Gladiator on DVD and a few more, because that's when like DVDs were like, they just came out. So they were like, what? Are they still the same price? I don't know. I don't, like, if I get DVDs, I go to Goodwill.
I don't know, you're asking about if DVDs are the same price as they were back then?
They can't be.
I doubt it.
They'd be like at least $30.
They're probably about the same price now as like a 4K Blu-ray. That's probably like they're about the same as the 4K Blu-rays that now exist. Which you know, run the gambit of, you know, sometimes it's like 25 and then sometimes it's like $40. So
I would think so. Because I remember when the DVD came out and they were in stores, I'd be with my mom and I'd want a certain movie. And she was basically like the Marge Simpson of the family, which I guess most moms are. She said, "Why don't you get the VHS version, Phil?" And I was like, "Oh, okay, man." So I was like, "All right, I guess I'll get the thing. I have to rewind, and it'll go bad."
Yeah, I'll get the copy of a movie.
The DVDs with like scratches.
Oh yeah, that's I mean, I don't notice this problem now with Blu-rays, but that was the thing too. I wore the hell out of my Spider-Man DVD and like Star Wars DVD collection as a kid. Cause I mean, I just watched.
Which Spider-Man?
The Sam Raimi movies.
Okay. Yeah. The first two.
Yeah. I mean, I just wore them out because, you know, I was a huge fan.
They were amazing.
Yeah, I loved those movies, and then I would watch the Star Wars and Indiana Jones movies, like, every weekend.
Yeah.
You know,
same thing with me, like, as a kid. That was the tapes I would watch. You know, like, we had the Star Wars first trilogy. We had all the Indiana Jones movies when I was a kid. We had Alien and Aliens. We didn't have three. I got three in the later 90s and watched it and went, ew, gross. This movie sucks.
But the special edition is so much better.
Three's awful.
No. The Fincher cut is really good. That's over 2 hours. That's almost 2.5 hours.
Oh, I'm not watching a 2.5 hour fucking... No. Of three?
Alien 3 is fantastic you watch, like, the special edition.
No, it is not. It is not. You like Friday the 13th part what?
Part 2. Or 6.
It was 2 and 6, which, we all have our opinions on that, but I just, like, 2... Okay, he's got the bag head kind of thing. He doesn't get the mask until the third one, which he gets from Shelley.
Shelley.
Like the chubby comedian of the group that gets
with his bad jokes.
Yeah, I don't know. You said 6, right? That's the one with the girl with like the powers. They're like,
no,
hey, let's make Jason.
No.
Like,
no, that's
like
7.
X-Men.
No, 7 is where she fights Tina. Or he fights Tina.
Okay, 6.
6 is the one I really love.
The one where he's like resurrected?
Yeah, by Tommy Jarvis.
With like lightning?
Yes.
Okay, not the Corey Feldman Tommy Jarvis or the Tommy Jarvis from 5, which I kind of like besides the whole copycat killer thing.
Oh, no. 5 sucks. 5 is awful.
It had Arnold from Different Strokes.
I get... Sure.
Gary Coleman's friend.
Still,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to me. It means nothing to me, honestly. Don't mean much to me.
Well, that was rude.
I mean, five is not like I mean five. I'm talking about the movie Friday the 13th Part 5. I don't really like that movie. Yeah. Why do you like it so
much? I don't know. There's just the part. There's the part in the movie though where the one guy at the halfway house in five, he's like, "Hey, you want a bite of my candy bar?" And the guy's like, fuck off. And, like, he walks away, and he's like, well, I don't want to give you any anyway or something. Or he's like, you're being a brat. The guy just walks up with his axe and just smashes his skull in. I'm like, whoa. Which made you think, is he the killer? Nope. It was that guy's dad. The guy that got killed, his dad was the murderer.
Yeah, and it's such a strange movie, because what does... Like, why? It's such an odd movie because it's making all these leaps and bounds.
It is.
And then it
made more sense to me, hang on, than Jason Goes to Hell. It's like, so now Jason's spirit is just going through people's bodies, like, you know, like, that's stupid. Just bring him back with the mask. Shut up.
Yeah, okay, you know what I mean? I'll give everyone credit. Jason Goes to Hell is not, you know, great. But they tried something new.
They're not better.
What?
I don't know. I mean, then you had, like, Wes Craven's new Nightmare come up, and I was like, that's garbage.
No, that's good. That is, I will fight. I will fight on the, I will die on that hill.
Will you die on that hill? Yeah, General Custard, because that movie is dog shit. It breaks the fourth wall. It's fucking stupid.
Are we sure we're talking about
this
same
movie?
This is
fun, by the way. I'm enjoying it.
Oh, yes. This is great. Yeah, absolutely. Wait, what? Freddy doesn't break the fourth wall.
Wes Craven's new Nightmare So, it's set in the real world. Where Freddy, of course, is a horror movie character played by Robert Englund. Wes Craven's in the movie. The chick who played the main chick.
Heather Lane
in the first one. Yeah, she's back. She has a son, which might be Nico Hughes. I don't know. It's one of those kids you remember in the 90s.
It is. It's Nico Hughes.
Okay, thank God. So it's Gage, yeah. Yeah, Robert Englund, like, makes an appearance, and it's this whole thing of, like, Freddy's spirit from the movie or something comes out into real life, murders her husband, all this stupid shit. It's stupid.
It's, I don't know. I found it really fun. I thought it was a fun movie. To me, it's a prototype screen.
I'm sorry.
It's a prototype screen.
Dream Warriors.
Oh, yeah! Dream Warriors.
Excuse me, Dawkins,
yes.
Yeah. We're the Dream Warriors or something.
Yeah. What do you think of the fourth movie?
I'm not going to sing all night.
What do you think of the fourth movie?
What's that? The fourth one was like Dream Something. There was Dream Warriors, Dream Something, and then
Master.
Five was the Dream Child.
Dream Master.
Yeah, Dream Master, Dream Child, and then, like, the sixth was the one where one of the scenes I only remember from it, and I watched it, like, a few months ago, where the, I forgot his name, but he's in the dream world, and then he sees, like, maybe his grandma or his mom, and she's like, let me clean your ears, and pulls out this, like, huge novelty Q-tip you'd see in like a cartoon and just like punch it into his ear and wiggle it and like pulls out his brain and he's like, I think like the stoner dude, so his brain's like a golf ball and then she turns into Freddy.
The that kid was a was the deaf kid who made who they made his head explode because of the sonic sounds or whatnot, right? Right?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure the guy I'm talking about wasn't deaf.
Oh. I don't
He was
know.
like a Hispanic dude. I don't remember his name, and I'm not just gonna say Carlos, whoops. But yeah, I don't remember. But he was like the late 1980s, like LA, like teenage Hispanic dude, kind of like what you would see in like the 80s movies and stuff.
Okay.
I don't remember. Yeah, he wasn't deaf. That was somebody else.
Oh. Okay.
But this
So
one, she just like cleaned his ears out and his brain was there. Yeah, I
okay.
mean that's what happened.
You're probably right. I'm maybe blanking on the movie. So let me ask you
Well, you
this.
bet your ass caught I'm right.
So let me ask you this. When did you get into horror films?
I was always, I mean, I was a kid. I don't think I was like three. More than likely, maybe like 9 or 10. I saw Halloween. Not in order. I saw like Halloween, then I saw like the fourth or fifth one, and then like, yeah. But no, the Friday the 13th and the Chucky series early on were the or the Child's Play were my top. And there was Freddy. I really don't know, man. It's a it's a huge mixture because I remember seeing Child's Play 1 and it had to be like 90 or 91. I was like a kid. I didn't know what was going on. I lived in my fantasy world, but I remember my grandma was babysitting me. And my other two cousins who were a little bit older, so they might have been like in middle school or like high school in the 90s, rented Child's Play. And I remember like watching that like as a kid, like just like whoa, like amazed, stunned, and freaked out. But I never got that like I'm scared of dolls kind of phobia kind of thing. Mine is usually when somebody, like a stranger, comes up to me, like at the gas station or somewhere, and like will ask me for a ride. Because I'm like, what if they're not psycho killers who will kill me and skin me and eat me? What if they legit need a ride and I'm just this dickhead that goes, no, please go away? But then I also think if they were killers, they would kill you right then and there. I don't know. But it's that whole like concern of like I give them a ride and they like grab my throat as I'm driving, which I would just hit a tree and see where it goes. We may both die. He may die. I may die. Who knows? But at the end of the day, he didn't kill me.
That's an
Yeah, it's
interesting.
drifters scare me. They
So
really
a
do, man.
drifter
I
is
do not like
scary.
someone. I have a phobia of strangers that look very derelict like come up to me and ask me for like a ride. It's always a ride. I'm like, dude, I can give you $10. But that's it. Like, I'll give you money. Like, if you come up and ask me for money, I'm not gonna go away, you fucking bum. I'm gonna go, yeah, here's some loose dollars I have out of my pocket. Take that. Be grateful for it. But it's just like it scares. Like what scares me is a stranger, like a legit stranger, not like this is my friend so and so. Technically, that's a stranger. I'm talking like just someone just out of nowhere, while you're just doing your usual thing. Also, they kind of look like the guy from Texas Chainsaw, so it's like, oh, I don't know. Hopefully, he just wants money and not a ride. I'm not giving him a ride. I'm like, no, I live in Colorado. I'm gonna go to Colorado with my flying car. Bye.
So let me ask this. Can I get us back on track?
Yes, do.
So what now? So what kind of movies do you watch now, other than what you have to watch for like the Slasher Movie Podcast?
Everything. I mean, it could be an action movie, it could be a slasher, it could be a comedy, it could be a sci-fi, drama, just romance, just whatever. Just whatever I find. I'll watch anything. Like, I really don't have a genre I hate besides maybe musicals. That might be I like Rocky Horror, but besides that, I really just don't care for them. But I don't like dancing. I like music, which I can listen to songs from a musical with just the audio, if you know what I mean, than
Right.
just me watching it. I don't know. There's something about the way the acting and the plot. I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't know. It's just not my thing, is musicals. Like, I don't own any.
For
Besides
me,
maybe Team America.
yeah, not many people realize that Team America is a musical, and South
It's a
Park is a
musical.
musical.
It is. It's a musical comedy.
The musical satire on the George Bush administration.
Well, see, those guys did the same thing in like the 90s with was it Cannibal, the musical? Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, they do musicals all the time anyway. In
Well,
the show, and there's the Book of Mormon.
Trey Parker loves like musicals in general. So for
Yeah.
him to do kind of his riffs. I mean, he even did a Broadway musical, the Book of Mormon.
Yeah. Which I have not seen. Should have.
I should have
But I know
too.
enough about those three.
You don't know much about.
Sorry, but
Wait, what did you just say?
I apologize. I made fun of Mormons. I don't know if you
Oh.
have Mormon
Well,
listeners.
I
You
don't
probably
think.
don't.
Well, I. You don't. I don't.
Especially after
I.
this episode.
Well, here's the thing. You probably don't have to have read the Book of Mormon to understand the movie, or I mean the show.
Yeah, true.
So you're probably gonna be okay. And you
Yeah.
can be friendly to, you know, is it, and you can be friendly to the Mormons, you know, too, you know, I don't
Of course you
know.
should. We're all human.
Yeah.
Exactly,
Absolutely.
yeah,
We should
but
be
some
excellent
things
to
are
each
kooky.
other.
Yeah, like I said, some things are kooky, but it's whatever. I'm not gonna like go crazy about my eye. They have some weird thoughts. I don't care. My thoughts might be weird, and they most possibly are.
Yes. Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's where, I mean, our mind goes into crazy places all the time. So,
Yeah.
yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I think as long as you keep in check, you know, your crazy mind and that, you know, I think that, you know, helps.
Yeah.
So I guess let me ask
Yeah,
this.
let's move on a little bit.
Okay, so where, you know, in so going from your childhood, you know, to, you know, teens and adulthood, what kind of movies got you really more into, you know, the kind of movies you watch today? Like what did you
Like an
what
influence kind of thing?
yes, what movies kind of influenced you
Well,
to be who you are now?
yeah, I put a lot of conversation points on this. I've got a big list. I'll name I'm gonna go when I was younger, the Star Wars original saga, the first three, Indiana Jones 1 to 3, like as a kid. Later on, still as a kid, but a little older, was Predator, Aliens, RoboCop, T2, of course, Die Hard, Bloodsport. That's when I got into like my action kind of phase. I was still in elementary school, but yeah, I was like in like the fourth or fifth grade or like possibly the third, because me and my dad would stay up late at night and watched TBS had a whole like movie marathon on certain nights called Movies for Guys Who Like Movies, right? So it was all action films or possibly like sci-fi action or just whatever. If it was action orientated, it was there. So yeah, we would stay up and watch a lot of like fucking Van Damme movies like Bloodsport, Die Hard with Bruce Willis. They'd even play like Rocky One, which to me, like Rocky One, which also is on this list, is it's not an action. It's really like, to me, one, of course, it's a romance movie. It's a love story. It's between Rocky Balboa and Adrian. And of drama, because he's this man against the world kind of thing. He's this regular, like, everyday, like, just guy. A little dumber than some because of being punched in the face and the forehead. But it's a great story because he goes the distance. And then some, because there's a bunch of sequels. But if I had to choose the movie that I've seen so many times, that I love, that I think is one of the greatest movies ever, ever fucking filmed, is Goodfellas.
Why is
My
that?
favorite Scorsese film, by the way.
All right, well,
What?
why is Goodfellas your one of your favorite movies?
Oh, I thought you said, "What is that?" And I
No,
was
no, no.
like,
Why?
who
Why
are
is
you and
that?
why are you doing a movie podcast? Okay.
No. Why?
Goodfellas. I didn't take notes on why I like Goodfellas. So I have to freeform this. Goodfellas is, to me, and you might can argue, is better than The Godfather and The Godfather Part Two. Because one, I believe Goodfellas is a lot more raw. It's a lot more gritty. It shows, yes, of course, they both show the inner workings of a mob, but, and they both show a person who rose into the mob. But to me, there's something about the soundtrack, there's something about the attitude that Henry Hill has, De Niro's character, fucking Joe Pesci, Tommy, he's getting made, which is a sad, sad scene. Like, I still, to this day, when Tommy's getting made, ugh, that gets me. That was like their best friend. So it's just like the way there was De Niro. I love De Niro. One of my favorite roles of De Niro is in Deer Hunter. And of course, Cape Fear. When he was like, "All right, I'll try doing a Southern accent and I'll flare. I'll do my best." But Goodfellas is just a very well written, also true story. The soundtrack is great when they play Layla. When Tommy gets made, the whole thing between Henry Hill and his wife. How she just becomes this nervous, crazy wreck. Just, I mean, the wig guy, Mari, or Maury, Mari, and you have him, it's like, honey, remember, he's like, this little motherfucker needs to quit asking me for fucking money. I love the mob mentality, and I love, I don't know, I just, it is this movie that, if I just want it in the background while I do my dishes, I can watch it. If I want to sit down and watch a movie I've seen 1,000 times and still see it like I saw it for the first time ever, it's Goodfellas. Goodfellas is, to me, I don't want to say it's the greatest movie ever made, but it is possibly, no, it's not possibly. It is my favorite movie. I'm done, by the way, with that whole thing.
I'm just in awe of it because for me, I love Goodfellas a lot. I think it's to me by far right now it's my favorite Scorsese picture because it communicates it's his magnum opus and also his like even though he's done The Irishman since, you know, since Goodfellas, I feel like Goodfellas is, you know, his, you know, magnum opus, everything that he needed to say about the mob life, everything he needed to say about this crazy world through these time periods, through this, you know, I think it went from the 60s, 70s, and then it bled into the 80s a little bit.
I believe 50, like late 50, 60s, 70s, 80s, and then whenever Henry Hill got arrested. I don't remember. I actually have the book I actually have the book that explains like the whole real life situation called Wise Guys. I don't remember at the moment the author, but it's like an audiobook and it goes through like
Nicholas Pileggi.
order of everything with someone narrating it like they're Henry Hill. So it's like listening to Goodfellas, but a book that's the real person. I mean, they're pretty spot on. Not 100% because it's Hollywood, so you have to change things. But they were close enough.
Nice, awesome. You know, and for me,
Yeah.
what loved about Goodfellas too is that going back and forth, you know, in the editing, you know, and I mean the way it's told and the way it ramps up the energy as we go through the time periods, and then you know where it ends up. I mean, you know, it's incredible. And then you watch Ray Liotta's performance, and then you compare and contrast Leo DiCaprio's performance in The Wolf of Wall Street, and they're almost like done the same way if you are paying, if you have a keen eye.
My top two Ray, so, sorry,
Go ahead.
Ray Liotta. My top two Ray Liotta. My top two Ray Liotta characters that he's played in movies is, of course, Henry Hill, and I'm gonna go with his character in Copland. I forgot his name, but I love his character. Also, Copland is one of my favorite, not like your usual action Sylvester Stallone movie. I think he killed it in Copland.
Also directed by James Mangold, who did Logan.
Really? Well, look at
Yes.
that. We're just making the stars are connecting.
Yes, and I think that
Wow.
was Mangold's like first like breakout hit as a director was Copland.
That's cool, man. Jesus. I had no
Yeah.
idea. Who are you?
Mangold's. Yeah, here we are, connecting the dots, bringing everything full circle. But yeah, so and when did you see Goodfellas for the first time?
I was actually probably like the whole way through because I remember like bits and pieces it being on the TV, just like, you know, changing the channel. I was, and I, and it's such a great movie, but you have to think about like how the mind works as a kid to who you are now. So I was actually like 20, to be honest, because I remember it was a movie and it's good and it's on. Well, it's just that thing of like I didn't comprehend the movie until later. I might have been like 18 or 19. Yeah, but who's like five and it's like, ah, Goodfellas is the best movie ever. No one does that. It's fucking Jurassic Park, by the way. 93. But yeah. Which might have been my second movie I remember seeing is Jurassic Park in the theaters that my parents took me to see.
Awesome. Yeah, that's the thing everyone keeps on, everyone brings up on this podcast is Jurassic Park. Because, you know, it was the pivotal movie in the 90s, and, you know, and
Yeah.
it got everyone into
And
like
though,
into dinosaurs for a little
it
bit.
holds up.
It does.
It holds up too.
When it's a
Like,
miracle
I
when you do
imagine
something
being
for
like, yeah,
real.
that looks like what a T-Rex.
Yeah.
We're talking over. But yeah, like I was like that. I think that's what a T-Rex looks like, and it looks good.
Yeah, it looks great. It looks menacing. It looks monstrous.
Yeah. It's a guy taking a doo-doo.
Yeah.
Yeah, he eats the lawyer.
Yeah, and why wouldn't he? Fuck lawyers. Unless they're representing me in a case where I'm totally innocent or kind of innocent.
Or just totally guilty, lawyers are cool. Yeah.
It's like, so we're going to take your license for DUIs. Oh, yeah? I got Ted Nugent. Is it Ken Nugent? Let's go with Ted Nugent. He comes in, you know, he's got his guitar. He's like, wee-wee-wee-wee. He's like, I shoot animals. And I love America. He's just playing like Cat Scratch Fever. And he's like, Bill is innocent. You know what I mean? And then that's my lawyer. And that's a rant. That is, sorry. I'm not that stoned, really. I have like two PBRs and a hit or two. But yeah, sorry. Sometimes I think I'm on my show. Well, the show I co-host, of course. My show. What the fuck is wrong with me? Michael does more. So yeah.
Oh my God, this is awesome. All right, so as we kind of trail off.
Awful?
No, as we trail away.
No, we're... yeah.
As we trail away, so what is your, we talked about your favorite movie, but what is like a movie you recently watched that you love, that you really liked?
Well, it's not, like, are you talking like a recent movie as in like newest movie or like a movie I really haven't seen like I needed to? And now I really love the movie, or
yes.
What do you mean?
Yes, that last question.
Actually, it's kind of recent.
Okay.
It's was made in the like past 20, in the last 20 years, yeah. Was Children of Men with Clive Owen.
Oh yeah, that's a great movie.
Are you just segueing because you're like, I've not seen it, but it's good.
Yeah, I mean, no, we don't have to segue, but I was just like, yeah, that's a good movie, that's a good choice.
Yeah, but have you seen it, though?
Actually, not really. I've only seen the tracking shot.
That's fine, because guess what? We weren't quizzing each other. If you have seen it, I'd be like, oh, we'll talk a minute, but yeah, you should see that movie. It's a movie... When it came out, I thought it wasn't going to be good, and I just ignored it, and then, like, I watched it recently, and then, like, I went to, like, Wikipedia, and I was like, oh, no, wait, it was actually a good movie. Like, it got a very high rating, especially on Rotten Tomatoes, who are just rotten.
Those Rotten Tomatoes.
Thank you.
Always rotten.
Yeah, me all night.
Yay.
Yeah, rotten.com. Check it out.
Oh, don't do that. I remember that site. Don't do that.
Okay, so you're old enough to know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yes.
You had that AOL Instant Messenger?
Yeah, well, I had a different email, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So are you still friends with Tom from Facebook? I'm sorry, MySpace. Fuck me. I'm sorry.
No.
I fucked that up. Fuck me.
You messed that joke up. But no, I don't
have... I really did, and you know what? Fuck me. Never fucking mind.
Yeah. All right. So...
Now we're at.
Philip, where can... So, as we kind of, you know, get out, you know, close this out, you run a podcast? Yes.
I have two, actually. There is that I co-host with Michael Pitton. You've had him on. Great guy. I like his moxie.
Yeah. I've had him on. He came on a week or two ago.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. He's great.
What the fuck did he say about me?
Oh, all the good shit.
Okay, good. All right, so first off, we have a Facebook. Well, excuse me for jumping ahead. So, me and Michael have two shows. We have an action movie podcast called Action Movie Podcast Now. It's that simple. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, Spotify, and basically wherever you can find podcasts. So besides that, I need to mention we are transitioning into slasher films, so everything now is you can get the same shit on the same feed. There's not two separate feeds. Like, it'll come into, like,
it's all on, like, the same,
but we changed the name.
It's all on the same subscription, right?
Exactly, yeah. We just made it simple. Thank you for helping me out with that, Kel, because I was like, oh, man. Thanks. Yeah, so guess what? We are going to start doing slasher films. It's August right now. It's about to be September. And, like, how long, Kel? Like, how long?
Until
September?
No, we're
starting early.
No, you're asking how much longer till September?
Yeah, when is September?
Well, as of this recording, it's tomorrow.
Well, that's crazy, man. All right, cool. All right, so we are transitioning into slasher films. It's going to start in September. I don't have the goddamn date around me, but if you follow us, you'll find out.
Okay.
Which you'll find, of course, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. So we have a Facebook, actually, Slasher Movie Podcast Now. You can go to that page, and there's going to be funny little memes, funny little pictures. Put our episodes on there, so you will be notified of that. We have an Instagram, Slasher Movie Pod, with funny pics from people getting murdered. Twitter, Slasher Movie Pod. Let me talk, goddammit, I'm not done.
Okay, go.
Twitter, I didn't mean to yell, sorry. Twitter, we have a Slasher Movie Pod. It's called Slasher Movie Pod. That's what you find us on. I'm kind of new to Twitter. Never had one. I don't know. I don't know how Twitter's going to go with murder movies. But we'll find out. Oh, and if you want to email us and be like, y'all should watch this movie, at slasherpod, this is the email, but it's really the Gmail, slasherpod@gmail.com. That's where you can find us, folks. I'm not giving out my number or social security number.
Okay, that was my next question, but okay, that's fine.
And my list of fears.
All right, cool. All right, Philip. Thank you so much for being on the show. Everyone, you can find me on Twitter at MovieKale. I really do need to create a Twitter for this podcast. But as of right now, you can find everything about this podcast and anything about me. What?
Kale, and if you do, you should only tweet Gavin McGinnis.